Impact. The other side. Sanctuary.
We made it,
Leisha announced. Dan, having been asleep in the first pod the alien deactivated, was first to know. He was only first by a matter of seconds, but this was still long enough to allow him to turn and watch with interest as Leisha woke Tara and Billy. Billy leapt to his feet and asked to be taken to the nearest window, not missing a beat.
We will switch craft, Leisha said, for a brief flyover. Does everyone agree?
So it is safe here?
Tara said, half statement and half question.
Did you see outside? Is there anything?
I saw outside from the control deck, but nothing of note,
the alien replied.
All atmospheric readings are as we expected, as though tailor-made for our shared needs.
Leisha then set off, encouraging the humans to follow, and guided them into one of the small saucer-like craft more familiar to human eyes than the mothership in which it was housed. Once they were all safely inside, Leisha entered the necessary commands to open the mothership's holding bay and allow the saucer out into the air of the world known as Sanctuary. Through the saucer's windows and glass-bottomed floor, identical to the surface from which Timo and Alessandro had seen the transcript which spoke of this very world and made Dan's trip there seem less impossibly dangerous, the group saw a landscape that they could easily have believed to be in some part of Arizona or Australia.
Earth 2.0, Billy marveled. Untouched.
That, however, was where he was wrong.
Wait, we're landing?
Billy asked a few seconds later, first to react to the saucer's sudden loss of altitude.
Leisha, Dan said, almost a rebuke. We didn't talk about...
The alien turned to him with a frightened expression.
Dan, I am not doing this. Something is pulling us down.
Can't you fight it?
Tara asked, terrified by the helplessness on Leisha's face even more than the steady downward movement of the saucer itself. Leisha tried everything at the control console, sadly shook his head. Dan looked downwards again, seeking some kind of explanation for the descent, but not yet succumbing to fear given his knowledge, or at least his hope, that Leisha could teleport the group back to the mothership if the ground got too close for comfort. As he looked, though, the descent began to slow. Celebration would have been premature, however, as a sudden lateral pull then kicked in where the vertical had left off. Billy and Dan gazed down through the saucer's transparent floor, seeing through the rapid movement a steady change in landscape. Rocky terrain was giving way to progressively greener grassland, or at least something that looked very much like it. Leisha was facing away from the saucer's direction of travel, desperately trying to accelerate away from the gravity pull that was taking them backwards at a rate of knots.
Oh my God,
Tara said, the only one facing forward.
Oh. My. God.
While Billy ran to her side, Dan felt very suddenly as though his shoes were made of lead. He tried to move, or at least thought he was trying, but he stayed on the spot. Billy's reaction to whatever lay outside was one of the most theatrically expressive Dan had ever seen, beginning with a gasp, continuing with a mouth opening almost as wide as a basking shark's, and concluding with a slow turn of his head towards Dan. Wonder was the word for the look in Billy's eyes, not fear. This lifted the odd feeling of weight in Dan's feet and enabled him to continue forward. By his second step, though, the saucer had begun to descend again. It was moving diagonally towards the ground, with simultaneous lateral and vertical pulls carrying them towards the site that had rendered Tara and Billy so shocked. Dan dashed forward, and the scene before him was like none he had ever seen. Not in the movies, nor even in his vivid imagination, let alone in real life. A series of colossal pyramids dominated the skyline, until a single statue of truly unbelievable scale became visible off to the side. Among the trillion thoughts in his mind, Dan McCarthy could at least breathe a momentary sigh of relief that the humanoid figure did not have a massively elongated skull like those of the architects. Off to the other side of the pyramids, Dan's eyes then took in the equally remarkable sight of countless skyscraper-like towers. This was the Hollywood-ready sci-fi city he had dreamed of when first visiting New Kerguelen, and the one whose absence he had lamented when gazing upon the less visually striking New Birchwood. Now that it was here, however, and now that he was being pulled towards it, the feelings were decidedly less positive than they would have been if he had seen similar things back then. Because Dan knew that it wasn't just about what he was looking at, it was about what it all meant. By now, Leisha had abandoned his losing fight against the remarkably strong force that was pulling the craft towards the city and had taken up a viewing position next to the humans. He said nothing, more stunned than anyone. A clear circle came into view on the ground ahead, so large that it was discernible even as the rapid speed of the craft's movement made everything besides the enormous pyramids, statue, and buildings pass by in little more than a blur. "That's where we're landing," Dan said, stating what struck him as obvious as soon as he saw the circle. "Leisha, can you take us back to the mothership? Quickly?" Even Billy Kendrick, Mr. Discovery, didn't disagree.
"I have been trying," Leisha revealed ruefully. "But I can't. Not that I would ever do this, but I couldn't even teleport myself if I tried. Things are different here."
The saucer didn't slow as it neared the circle, right until it was directly above it. At that point, the final descent was very slow. "Whoever is doing this doesn't want to scratch the craft, I guess," Billy said, trying to inject some humor. His use of the word whoever, despite not really suggesting anything the others didn't already know, brought the point into even sharper focus that the force they were feeling was being controlled by someone, by some extraterrestrial civilization housed on this supposedly virgin planet. The saucer's windows suddenly blackened, entirely blocking the view. It was as though something had happened to the windows rather than the outside world. Without quite knowing why they were so sure of this, Leisha and his three passengers absolutely were. Tara took hold of Dan's hand and squeezed it tight. A second later, he squeezed back even tighter. The mood was shifting rapidly, from fear to horror. Trapped inside a pitch-black spacecraft on an unknown world, and with unknown aliens almost certainly lurking outside, no one on board had ever felt this kind of terror. It escalated further still as the unmistakable sound of the saucer's ramp descending to the ground below filled the group's ears, followed by the even more ominous sound of footsteps walking up it.
"Thank you for everything," Leisha said. "All of you."
"Thank you," they all replied. Each had their reasons for undying gratitude. Tara and Dan primarily for what he had done to help Piper, not once, but twice, and Billy for the undreamed of adventures the messengers had allowed him to live out. And each meant it deeply. As the door began to open and light quickly flooded in, Dan found himself wishing for Tara's sake especially that if their end was coming, it would at least be quick. More instinct than conscious bravery, Dan stepped forward towards the door. With her hand still in his, Tara followed. Leisha stepped aside, pulling Billy with him, in an act born similarly of some deep instinct rather than any ounce of cowardice. When the door opened and Dan's eyes adjusted to the light, he saw a short alien being at the threshold and at least 20 more waiting on the ground below. They looked for all of the world like a shrunken cross between humans and the messengers. Each had whitish-gray skin, strikingly humanoid features, three fingers and an appropriately scaled thumb on each hand, and a skull of the right, non-architect shape, if not even slightly less oval than a human's. Most strikingly, none stood over 4 feet in height, and some appeared to be considerably shorter still.
"We come in peace," Dan said, uttering this line for the second time in his life. This time, however, he was far less sure that the reverse feeling was mutual. Almost immediately, though, a smile far more human than not crossed the alien leader's face.
"They are back,"
The remarkable creature exclaimed, speaking aloud in perfect English as it gazed up at Dan and Tara with wide and adoring eyes.
Our gods have returned.
This has been an Audible Studios production of Not Alone, Leap of Destiny, Not Alone, Book 5. Written by Craig A. Falconer. Performed by James Patrick Cronin. Executive producers Catherine Stewart and Mike Charzuk. Producer Chelsea Pita. Copyright 2020 by Craig A. Falconer. Sound recording copyright 2020 by Audible Inc. Audible Studios is a division of Audible Inc.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.